Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Another blitz down the middle. Touchdown, Mack Hollins. An 11-yard touchdown strike. And the Barefoot Wonder scores from 11 yards out. Quick hitter to Shakir. Has a blocker in front. Down to the 3-2, reaching for the goal line, and he's in! Khalil Shakir with an 11-yard catch and run for the touchdown! And Spencer Brown gets the spiking honor! Back to pass, steps up in the pocket, and he trips and falls down! Von Miller gonna get credit for the sack! Welcome back, Von Miller!
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Oh, here we go, baby. Nothing better than starting off the season with a Victory Monday. I love it. It is a Victory Monday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, WGR Sports Radio 550. Welcome back. We really didn't go anywhere, but it's kind of a different feel, right? Leading up to the season, it's like, hey, we made it. Here we go. Regular season. Extra Point Show. Yeah. Now it's like, all right. First Monday Extra Point Show of the season is also the first Victory Monday Extra Point Show of the season. Sal Capaccio along with you. Glad to be with you today. We have so much to get to today. So much. And I can't wait. I'm fired up. I'm fired up for the first Victory Monday of the season. And I'm fired up to see your smiling faces. Actually, you will not see. I will not see your smiling faces. But you will see my smiling face if you go to the WGR Facebook page. Because we are live on the WGR Facebook page right now on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Check it out. You can see me. Hi. Hi. You can comment. Whatever you want there. Say hi. Call up. That's what we're going to do here today. We do it every Monday. We've been doing it for years. This is like a... I mean, we've been doing this show like on Mondays for like the last 10 years, I think. And we're still doing it. We're still here. And I invite you to call because this is what Monday is about. Monday is about me and you. It's not about interviews. It's not about guests. It's about reaction to what happened on the field. The Buffalo Bills beating the Arizona Cardinals 34-28. And yes, a little too close for comfort. Everything on the table for you today at 803-0550. Want to thank Catholic Health because it's a Catholic Health Extra Point show here on a Monday, on a Victory Monday. The Catholic Health Extra Point show on Buffalo Bills Football Monday is presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, here today, all day. So we'll make sure that you're dialed in for everything you need to hear and everything you need to know, but I want to hear from you today. 803-0550. I mean, it's the NFL, man, right? It's never easy. It's always tough. There we are. I just went on the is that camera got a like a little dirt on it? I'm going to wipe that off so people can see my nice bald head here. Hold on. Here we go. Okay. Hold on. There we go. There we go. See? Does that look a little better for you, Josh? All right. I had to clean it up. I'm going to see. I'm going to watch. So if you're watching on the screen right now, I think we cleaned it up for you there. And then I got to put it's the focus right there. There we go. Now we're going to be in focus. Ah, there. Okay. See, we're all working out the kinks here on the Monday morning Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Catholic Health Extra Point Show here on a Monday. But my apologies if you have a little bit of a blur there. We're trying to get rid of that. But in the meantime, you can see me. I'm right there. It doesn't matter. Me and you. What do you think about yesterday's game? So, listen, the bottom line is it's the NFL. A win is a win. We always say that. And it wasn't like, you know, I don't want to say it was an ugly win. It wasn't an ugly win. This was not an ugly win. This was a win that you had to fight through adversity, no doubt about that. The Bills didn't play their best football game, no doubt about that. But this wasn't an ugly win. This was a good win that was a little too close for me. This was a good win there where the Bills did not play their best football for 60 minutes, especially early on. But it was a win where they also did a lot of really good things that you can build on. There's some concern, obviously, heading into Thursday night with some of the injuries. Our Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash for help. Call 1-800-8-MILLION. We'll be telling you all about those this year on a Monday. And unfortunately today, two of the, maybe arguably the two most important players on the Bills, two best players. I mean, you have an all-pro in Taron Johnson who left the game with a forearm injury, didn't return. And of course you have Josh Allen who didn't leave the game but had a hand injury taped up. And we'll see exactly where all that goes. Sean McDermott's going to speak to the media today at 3:15 p.m. His normal Monday Zoom call is now going to be down at the stadium because we're going to hear from him and Bobby Babich and Joe Brady because there's a quick turnaround. So actually, you know what? It actually doesn't change. That's a normal Monday schedule anyway. There you go. So that's now that I think about it, there's nothing really different today. Except I think the players are doing a little more work today. But there's no media for practice today. No media for practice. They'll do a little work. They'll get in. They'll do some injury check. And we'll do the Barnes Firm injury report and keep you updated throughout the day on what's going on there. Ty Johnson left the game as well. So there are some concerns. And it's, of course, a short week. 34-28. 6-point win. What was the final spread? 6 points, I believe. Was the final spread. So how does Vegas know, right? 6 points. I think it was six. Did it get to 6.5? At one point, it might have been even down to 5.5. So I think 6 is where it landed. I'm not completely positive. I wrote my column, Arrow Up, Arrow Down, at WGR550.com. So you're going to want to go there and take a look. And you could build off that if you'd like. See what I liked about the game, what I didn't like about the game. But first and foremost, let me just tell you, go back to week ones throughout history, right? I mean, throughout the years. Week one is always something that's kind of crazy. You never know. You get out. You have to get out of it. You just don't know about your team. Some teams have been planning all season. I mean, I'm sure the Arizona Cardinals, when the schedule came out, they're like, we're going to do whatever we can to go to Buffalo and beat the Buffalo Bills. Not that the Bills wouldn't do the same thing, but that's a big, big game and big, big win for them. If they can get it. And I'm sure they're doing everything they can to study the Bills inside and out and make sure they come to Buffalo and surprise the world and come out with a victory and go to Arizona. Like, I think week one is always tough for that. And that's what happened for the first half. Most of it, until the Bills scored late. So the Cardinals are up 17-3 in this one. 17-3. It is not easy to come back from 14 points down in the NFL. The Bills did that. They got it to 17-10 at halftime, and then from there, really, the Bills just rolled. There were some stark differences between the first half and the second half for the Buffalo Bills, especially on defense and how they were able to adjust some things, get a little bit more buttoned up, take care of some of the issues that were popping up in the first half that forced them to be down 17-3. Let me give you a big stat adjustment, okay? In the first half in this game, the Cardinals ran 36 plays for 190 yards. They averaged 5.2 yards per play. It's pretty good. 5.2, 190 yards in the first half of the Cardinals. Second half, a total of 80 yards, 3.3 yards a play. Now, granted, they had one less possession because they had the kick return for the touchdown, which we'll talk about. But that's a big deal. That's a big adjustment. Kyler Murray ran four times in the first half. He ran once in the second half. Big adjustment there. Now, the one in the second half was a big run for him, no doubt. He got loose. It was a big third down. He got a first down. You can't let that happen. But one time did he run, which means the Bills were doing a good job of containing him in the second half compared to the first. So give the Bills, their coaches, and players credit for that adjustment and really protecting the edges and containing Kyler Murray and keeping everything in the pocket and really trying to force everything more in the middle, more up the middle, and not along the edges. In fact, I had a stat that I put out a little while ago, earlier today. I even gave the defensive tackles an arrow down, like their lack of production. Because if you look, like Ed Oliver wasn't on the stat sheet whatsoever. Daquan Jones did have a batted pass, otherwise wasn't on a stat sheet. But he did have the batted pass. I think he might have had a tackle as well. I also gave an arrow down to the Bills' defensive tackles, and a lot of you brought that to the table as well yesterday and last night. But here's something to consider after going back and looking at it. The Cardinals ran 24 total times. They had 25 rushes. I don't know where the last one came from, so my data is one run off here in some capacity. But the data I have is, out of the 24 I have, 13 were either around right end or left end combined. Right edge run, left edge run, 13. Only 11 were in between. So the defensive tackles didn't have a real big shot to make an impact other than on pass rush. But the point I'm making here is, the Cardinals were attacking the Bills' edges and having success until the Bills made an adjustment in the second half. So how many times a year do we get the phone call, the Bills' coaches never make adjustments? And I always say, yes, they do. They always do. Every team does. They're in the NFL. They're NFL coaches. So this is what they do all the time. It doesn't mean they always make the right adjustments. It doesn't mean that they're always better than the other team. But of course they do. And they made good adjustments in this game. And the Cardinals didn't. I heard on the broadcast yesterday, I went back and rewatched it, Ross Tucker said on the CBS broadcast yesterday, the Cardinals had the lead in 11 games yesterday, and they only won four of them last year, and they only won four of them. I mean, if I'm a Cardinals fan, I'm listening to the radio today, I'm like, the coaches never make adjustments. That might actually feel and be true for them. So, yeah, a lot to get to today. 803-0550. You know what today is also the return of? Sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy. My first hey, buddy of the year. Who's my buddy? We're going to get to that later in the program. We'll get to sit up and stand down. How this works is I find something in the NFL to say we should start sitting up on this person or team or something, and maybe we should stand down on this other person or team or something. And then, hey, buddy, can be anything in any walk of life. My buddy. We'll do all that today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And, of course, on a Monday, it's the Catholic Health Extra Point Show. We got a lot of sponsors because we got a lot of people who want to be a part of this show, just like you, 803-0550. All right, let's start this off. Let's go to Nick in Buffalo. You're first up on the Monday, Victory Monday Extra Point Show. Go ahead, Nick.
How's it going, Sal?
Good, thanks, buddy.
I was at the game yesterday, so I'm going to try to get this out. I lost a lot of my voice, but I want to start by saying that building was rocking yesterday. If anybody was at the game, that place was on fire. The crowd was crazy. But Greg Russo, my man Greg Russo, balled out. Three sacks, man. I've been pounding the table for Greg Russo. He's going to be the starter, like, full-time, couple of years. He's going to be the guy. And he showed it yesterday. He had a great game.
Yeah, he did. He was amazing. He was amazing yesterday.
Yeah, and Cam Lewis. Cam Lewis came in for Taron Johnson, and he had a phenomenal game. I have nothing bad to say about that man right there. And to finish my point, though, I think a lot of the bad plays on defense and special teams yesterday could have been avoided with better tackling. So many missed tackles.
Agreed.
I think that needs to get cleaned up. And that's all I got to say. I'll listen. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Take care of your voice today, Nick. I've been there before many times, as people know. Let me start with tackling because you ended up, I agree with you. I put it as one of my arrows down. You know what? I don't even know if I put tackling. Yeah, I did. I did. Thank you. Because I had it in my brain and then I didn't remember if I translated it to the actual page. Tackling was an issue yesterday, especially early in the game. Too many missed tackles, no doubt about that. That has to be cleaned up early in the season. You're going to see that sometimes, especially because guys hadn't played in the preseason, right? Yes, I know you have training camp. You're not really tackling a lot in training camp. You're not tackling and bringing guys to the ground during camp and, you know, practices leading up to the first game. Okay, Greg Russo, you said, Nick, Greg Russo, you've been pounding the table, him be the starter. And I know what you meant, but just so everybody's clear, Greg Russo has started every game that he's been healthy in a Buffalo Bills uniform since walking into the door in 2021. I looked it up today. The reason I looked it up is because somebody tweeted at me that, oh my God, Keon Coleman played. Wow, that's a departure. McDermott doesn't play rookies. Yes, he does. Osiris Torrance played every snap last year. Greg Russo has started every game since he's been healthy. Christian Benford has started every single, not every game. He's been starting since the beginning, right? He's had a few games where he was not healthy, came off the bench. Every situation, every circumstance, every player is different. So I don't want to hear any more about rookies don't play. Rookies don't, they do. They get playing if they're, you know, you can criticize some rookies not playing who should. I get that. Over the years, that's happened. There's no doubt about that. But Greg Russo has started every game since walking through the door, and he's just another rookie who actually has started under Sean McDermott. Okay, your point about Lewis and Ingram. I wanted to get to this today. Big props to these guys. Look, here's what happened, okay? The Bills' game plan going into the game was Taron Johnson's your nickel cornerback, you know that, and Cam Lewis was going to be the dime safety, meaning dime means six defensive backs. The Bills normally play five. Nickel means five defensive backs, okay? It's easy. Five defensive backs is nickel. That's Taron Johnson. A lot of people don't know that. That's why I explain it sometimes just to kind of give a refresher. When you bring an extra defensive back, that's six. That's called dime. So somebody has to come off the field, usually a defensive tackle. Last year, that was Jordan Poyer's role towards the end of the year. They moved Jordan up to the dime safety. They played three safeties. So really, you have three corners, your two outside, your nickel, and you have three safeties. That's a dime look. That was Cam Lewis's role yesterday. Seven plays into the game, Taron Johnson gets hurt. Well, Cam Lewis is Taron Johnson's immediate backup. So he has to go and now suddenly play nickel corner, where he's fine. He can play. He's the main nickel backup. I think he could start it on other teams as the nickel corner. But now Jamarcus Ingram, who was basically not even going to play unless there was injury to somebody, has to play because there's injury to somebody. But he's normally at a boundary corner. Now he has to go in and play the dime safety role. For those guys to adjust on the fly, and I say especially Ingram. Now, I know that the last play maybe could have been flagged. People say whatever. He didn't kill the Bills. He played fine. It's a new role. You should think a lot about what they had to do to make that adjustment, because that's completely new, a new game plan, the entire game for them. And it really kind of also impacts how you call the game as a defensive coordinator. They did a great job. I'm also going to say this. Finally, maybe enough Bills fans, because I know most of you do, but are on the side of understanding why Cam Lewis makes this team every single year. Cam Lewis makes this team every year because of that, because of what you saw. Are there times where he wasn't, you know, even one of the top five DBs? Of course, right? Like a high Jordan Poyer. But that's a reason why Cam Lewis makes this team every year. It's why he's going to play a long time in the NFL. He can do that, what he did yesterday. Thanks for the call, Nick. Needed to clarify all that, so I appreciate you. Michael in Atlanta, go ahead, Michael. Good to hear from you.
Hey, good. Good talking to you, Sal. Thanks for everything you do, man. So a couple of things. I want to just point out a couple of things, and I have a question for you. So I'm really, you know, noticed what you noticed, how they overcame adversity with, you just mentioned, with losing Johnson, and then having to change the game plan. But they adjusted. That's what I really like. The second half, that defense adjusted. What, they allowed 3 points in the second half?
Yes.
That's what the defense allowed.
Yes.
3 points. And the way they were able to contain Murray, who's one of the most elusive quarterbacks, I was impressed the way the defense, the players brought up their game in the second half. And also, what I'm really encouraged about, I'd rather have a lot of really good targets than, oh, yeah, we got two great receivers. Well, those two great receivers, when they stopped performing after week six, you know, kind of hurt us in the playoffs. But now there's just so many options on offense. I just see a lot of promise moving forward. And, you know, it was only one contested catch by Coleman. But, again, the fact that so many people, you know, were participated, there were so many options. As this team improves during the year, which I believe they will, first game, and they're usually a little rusty. The exception was a couple of years ago when they opened in Los Angeles, and it was lights out. That was a good game. But, you know, we've got a lot to build on, and I think that's what's really hopeful. I want to, you know, see what you thought about that. And also, the question, okay, two questionable roughing the quarterback calls on each team. Clearly, you know, the first one was bad. The second one, was that called because of the horse collar?
It was actually called because of the because he touched his head, his face. Now, we could say it was ticky-tack, but it was called because of the face mask, the hit to the face.
Okay. And the one on Allen was just the official didn't see it correctly, I believe, right?
The one on Allen, what do you mean? One on Murray?
Well, the one on Murray, okay, were they both called for that reason?
I don't know. I'm confusing. There was one call on Murray where Jamarcus Ingram never hit him. Is that what you mean? But it shouldn't have been called.
That's right.
Okay,
that's
and then right. The one on Allen, he's in the pocket. They called it because they hit his head.
Okay, got it. All right, okay. Very good. But the one on Allen, the one that was called, the one on Murray was the one that was the bad call because I don't think he ever hit him.
Yeah, and I mean, I think some people would say that even the one on Allen might have been a bad call as you rarely touched him. But just to answer your question, it was not the horse collar, although that happened. But the information I got was it was because it was – now maybe that is – but the information I got at the time was it was to the face. So – because he had grazed his face. So I appreciate the phone call. Hey, look, I mean, yeah. I mean, I agree with, you know, it's week one. You got to fight through adversity. They did. Thanks for the phone call, Michael. 803-0550. All I ever ask is you call, you make a contribution to the Extra Point Show today on a Monday. It's a victory Monday, so good start with that. Let's go to Frank in Williamsville. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Sal. I'm old now. I'm officially old. I realize that. I'm 61 years old. I've been watching the Bills forever. I'm not going to call him in forever, you know. But watching yesterday, when Josh fumbled that ball, in the first quarter there, I'm thinking to myself, it really disappointed me. I mean, that's the thing, the only thing that's keeping him back from being like, you know, Ultraman back there. I mean, and it just seems for some reason his physical talent, he can't overcome his physical superiority with what's going on in his head. To make a play like that, I just thought, what's going on in his head? And I know, look, I'm not an analyst. When I see these guys that make these calls, like that Ross Tucker, I mean, they're watching a different game than I am. I'm not that adept at picking up what they're doing out there. It seems like it's a really complicated game until you guys explain it all the next day. And I don't want to sound like an idiot on the radio, but is Josh, does he just want to win too much? Or what do you see when you see him fumble that? Do you say you're on the side of there's a phone, oh, not again? Or is it just? I know it's just part of his thing. It's who he is. It's what he does.
I mean, if you want all the incredible plays like him leaping over people, then you're gonna have to live with that sometimes, Frank. And I agree. Like it to me, what's going through his head? He's trying to make a play. That's what's going through his head. Yeah. And he can be a little careless sometimes when he's doing that. There's no doubt. I mean, that's the Josh Allen experience, as they say. In a situation like that, he probably didn't feel the defender as close as he should have, and the ball wasn't securely tight. So you want to see that better. So yeah, I mean, but I think you have to understand and take that if you're going to accept all of the great things he's going to do as well.
Yeah, don't even worry. I love the guy. I mean,
I know. And look, I'll say this, Frank. Of course, I went online. There's Trey Wingo tweeting about, here's Josh Allen fumble, most since he entered the league. Right. He also scored four touchdowns, two throwing and two running. He's maybe the most in the league since entered among there, whatever. I get it. I mean, that's what the experience is, the Josh Allen experience, as we say. There was somebody, I was looking through that at Josh Allen fumble. I went down the rabbit hole yesterday. Some random person I saw wrote, another Josh Allen fumble. In other news, the sky is gray. And I wanted to respond. I didn't because there's nothing good that can come from it. I wanted to say he also had four touchdowns. In other news, the sky was actually blue yesterday in Orchard Park. So you can find that if you want to go and do that. That's what they wrote. Another Josh Allen fumble. Another news, the sky is gray. You can find it. You can tweet at it. But, you know, I'm just calling it out because that's the narrative on him. And it's not a wrong, right? I hate the word narrative. You know that. That's true. He does have too many fumbles. I will not sit here and defend the fumbles. I'll tell you, though, that if you want the full Josh Allen great stuff, those things are going to have to be a part of that sometimes. Because if you want him to be ultra careful all the time, he's not going to take the risks he does that result in the positive plays. Let's go to Jim on a cell. Hi, Jim.
How are we doing, Sal? Thanks for the call.
Yep.
So watching the game yesterday, you know, I haven't hopped on to, you know, Facebook or anything to go into the groups because I know how much of conspiracy theories there are out there and everything else. But when, you know, we have that terrible call that, you know, was hitting, you know, roughing the passer after he slid, and then Josh Allen had the supposed makeup call, I heard it being called, where, you know, he got touched in the head. But then when Allen had slid, he got hit, but there was no call.
Yeah, the slide, he also wanted the call on the hip drop tackle. They weren't going to call it. They're not really going to call the hip drop much this year. And then the one he slid, yeah, where he was touched late. It wasn't very egregious, but he was touched late, yes.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, again, it's not, you know, a terrible, the world is against us or anything. What is the procedure for the Bills to kind of bring these things up with the league? Because, you know, it's exhausting where, yeah, you know, watching these games where it seems like, you know, we have our unicorn who gets some of these hits. He doesn't get a call in our favor. Yet some of these other quarterbacks who are gifted in their own right, you know, they get a slight breeze on them and they seem to get, you know, protected.
So,
now,
Jim,
just hang up and listen.
Yeah. You got it, buddy. Thanks. I can tell you're driving, so I'm going to let you go there, too, as well. Listen, as you know, Jim, because you touched on it, this is not you. I know what you're doing, and it's all good because you said you don't want to go down in the conspiracy theories and all that. I know you're not saying the world is against the Bills. I get it. But as you know, Jim, that's what every fan base thinks. Every fan base, every single radio host today doing this show that I'm doing in Buffalo, New York, people are calling and saying the refs are against us. It's just the way of the world. It's the way it is, right? The announcers don't like us. The refs are against us. Everybody always thinks that, okay? The fact of the matter is it generally goes both ways. It generally evens out. It's not always the case. And yes, some players get more calls than others. There's no doubt, right? Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, we've seen it. I think Josh gets some of these calls now more than he ever has in his career. He got one yesterday. To answer your question about the procedure, there is a procedure for someone with the Bills, someone on Brandon Bean's staff, basically, to inquire with the league, maybe about a couple calls, and get explanations, and then the league will tell them what they saw on the play. And a lot of times, they'll say, hey, we screwed up, but we're not going to know that. Now, it does come out sometimes because it's an egregious play, it cost a game. Those things do happen. If it's a game, if it's a play, if it's a game-altering play in a game, and it's really everybody needs to know, then afterwards, there's what's called a pool report. There is a pool reporter in each city. For us, I believe it's Jay Skursky of the Buffalo News, who is in charge of asking that official to explain what happened. So it's not everybody going to the officials. They don't do this like mass media thing. And then the official will say, here's what I saw. And that pool report gets distributed to the rest of the media pool. That's why I call it a pool report. In this case, there was nothing like that where it altered the game. So if the Bills have an issue with a call, they can write into the league office or call into the league office, say, hey, here's A, B, C, and D. You know, can you explain to us what was happening, you know, through the official's office? And then the official's office will, you know, have a conversation with them. And they'll be honest and say, hey, this is what we saw, and sorry, you don't like it. Or, hey, we screwed up there. And a lot of times those conversations, most times, are just kept in-house, which they probably should be, to be quite honest, right? When you think about it. All right, we'll take a timeout. Our first timeout here on a Victory Monday, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is the Catholic Health Monday Extra Point Show on Buffalo Bills Football Monday. I'll be right back after this timeout. We'll take more of your phone calls at 803-0550. Great start to the first Football Monday of the season.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We weren't very good at all, and some of it was they were getting into third and manageable situations, and that goes back to winning first and second down. So I thought Bobby and the defensive staff did a great job at halftime, you know, addressing it and then making some adjustments, and I think we came out better in the second half and played a little bit more our style defense and were a little bit more aggressive and just playing and, you know, just having some fun out there as opposed to waiting and reacting to what they were doing.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. By the way, on the intro, you heard some plays. Of course, Chris Brown on the play-by-play on the Buffalo Bills radio network. That's where those calls came from, of course. Hey, head over to WGR550.com and enter for your chance to win a Blackstone 2-burner black outdoor LP gas griddle just in time for tailgate season, courtesy of Value Home Centers. Sal Capaccio back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And, of course, on a Monday, it is the Catholic Health Extra Point Show, Northwest Bank, for what's next. Everybody getting involved. You're getting involved. We've had some great calls so far. We want to keep those rolling. 803-0550. All I ask on a Monday, as I have for many years, you and me together for 2 hours, make a contribution to the show, give a call, give your thoughts. The floor is yours. It's your time to ask a question, to complain about something, to praise something, whatever you want, okay? Just always ask. Just make a contribution. Be intelligent. We're not, You know, it's a Monday week one. We're not firing everybody. We're not putting people in the Hall of Fame. Although Greg Rousseau looked like one hell of a player yesterday, I'll tell you that. Let's go to Anthony in New York City. What's going on, Anthony?
Now, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Listen, I'm happy we won the game yesterday, but with a short turnaround coming Thursday night and having to go down to Miami and playing that heat, that two of my try to explode our defense, being the short week and our defense might still be tied.
Yep. I mean, that's going to be tough, right? There's no doubt, Anthony. It's going to be tough. They're going to the Bills have planned for this. You know, they understand. They have sports science. They have trainers. They have a plan and, you know, to put in place to keep guys, you know, hydrated as much as possible. And obviously, a couple of years ago, we know what happened down there in Miami. It is going to be not, you know, it's not going to be 90 degrees. It's going to be at night. So that's good. But it's going to be a tough game. And it looks like possibly a game without Taron Johnson. And that's tough to deal with, too, because of all the different things the Dolphins do. Jalen Waddle, of course, tough to defend. The Bills are going to have a tough one in Miami. The good news is, even if you drop it, and, you know, you want to win the game, of course, you know, you're still 1-1. You come back home. You have 12 days after that, 11 days, to get ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars in a night game at home. And, you know, you have an opportunity to get right back at it and get to 2-1. This game, that's why this game yesterday was so big. This game yesterday was so big because of the long-term kind of schedule and the way it unfolds. Hey, we got a bunch of open phone lines right now, so give a call. Josh will pick up. You can talk to him. He'll get you on my screen. I'll get you on the air. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jeff in Cheektowaga. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Sam, what's going on? I just wanted to say, Greg Rousseau, he's probably the best run defensive end I've ever seen as a Bills defender. I thought Shaq Lawson was really good at that, and there's a reason why Lawson lasted so long in the league is because he was a great run defender. But I just think if he gets the pass rush thing, he's going to be Bruce Smith. I mean, he's going to be a terrorizer. He's going to totally change games from that position. They were right yesterday when they said they should have re-upped his contract before that game because he's going to make money.
Yeah, but hold on, hold on. They don't have to do that. Yep. He's under contract for two more years. They're
right, they, right.
They
I know.
They do not have to do that right now.
Right. And then the other thing is the guys like Dane Jackson, mm-hmm. Ingram, they're so good at Lewis finding these guys that can play any position and step in, and it feels like you didn't lose anything. Like, yep. It's unreal how good they are and how physical all three of those guys have been. I mean, Ingram looks just like, I mean, the guy looks like Lewis, just nasty, dirty. He's going to get, you know, he's going to stick you. And I just love how they play football. I do.
You got it, Jeff. You got it. Let me touch on a couple things. I know you're super excited, but we cannot put Greg Rousseau in the same sentence as Bruce Smith. I know. He was great yesterday. Bruce Smith is arguably the greatest defensive end to ever play the game, with all apologies to Reggie White and Deacon Jones and the other greats that have come along the way. Bruce is, to me, the greatest player in franchise history. That's not to disrespect Greg Rousseau. But he is an excellent run defender. I agree. And yesterday, 3 sacks. Greg Rousseau coming out of the game, tied for the league lead in sacks with 3, tied because Alante Taylor of the Saints also had 3 sacks yesterday against the Carolina Panthers. So Rousseau and Taylor both with 3 sacks on the young season in week 1. Yeah, I mean, that's what did I just say a little while ago? We're not putting anybody in the Hall of Fame right now, right? It's one game. Greg Rousseau did look pretty darn good yesterday. You can't talk about him as Bruce Smith. Here's the deal on this contract. The reason I cut you off there, Greg, to just because, listen, I don't know who was saying, there was scuttlebutt about, oh, they should have extended him. You don't need to do that. He's under contract for 2 more years. You have his 5th-year option next year. You've already exercised. He's guaranteed $13 million or so next year. The time to extend, now you could do it. The Bills could say, oh my God, let's just do it now. That's great, because then they've cost certainty. If the Bills were to extend Greg Rousseau now, it wouldn't be because they don't want to lose him, because there's no danger of that. It would be because they want cost certainty even beyond next year, 2025. So what they can do is, to me, wait till the offseason, then you extend him so you can lower that guaranteed $13 million. It's a no-brainer to me. You lower it $5, $6 million, you give him a nice extension, and then you clear that kind of money from the cap, and then you're also in a good spot. Question is how much he's going to make. He did earn himself a lot of money yesterday, and hopefully continually and beyond. Walter in Toronto, good to hear from you, Walter.
Hey, Sal, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Exciting that football season started, and I was at the game yesterday, and, you know, it's incredible how loud that building can get. You know, as much as I'm looking forward to the new stadium, I'm gonna miss the old one. But
well, listen, I will tell you, the new one is designed to be even louder.
Beautiful. Love it. Love it.
There you go.
You kind of talked about defense, and you kind of hit the nail right on the head. So I just want to shift over a bit. I love the way the Bills are spreading the ball around. I think that's a very good sign. What are your impressions of Coleman? I mean, not just on the field, but I mean, you're on the sidelines there. You can give us a scoop. Did he look good? Did he look happy? Like, or is he more like, oh my God, what am I doing here? Type of thing, you know.
I mean, I think he just fit right in. He didn't look out of place. He drew a couple penalties. I know there was one down the field. There was another one later. But here's what I saw with Keon. Exactly what I saw in training camp, which is, remember in training camp, Walter, you listen to the show, you know that every day, I would say, the guy makes one highlight reel catch every day. He makes one highlight reel catch every day. And it's not like he's catching every pass or every ball thrown to him. But and that's what he did yesterday. He actually wound up the Bills' leading receiver, 4 catches, 51 yards. But it wasn't his volume. It was the one catch down the field that set up that touchdown. So that's what I saw from him, a highlight reel catch where he has his body control and in perfect position to make it. And I think you're going to see a lot of that from him this year.
Well, great adjustment on
his
part.
That's right.
I think you have to pull back a bit. Yep. And one last thing, I'm happy for Joey's move on. Maybe I should say moved over to the morning show. But, you know, I do miss you and Joe, and sometimes I call in sort of banter about hockey. And I'm wondering if you and Joe can do a bit of that.
Of course. I could still do that with you. Of course I can. And we're getting ready for Sabres season. In fact, 1 month from tomorrow is the home opener, October 10th against the LA Kings. There you go.
No, good point. That's right. Well, all the best, Sal. I'll be calling in.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot, Walter. Always appreciate you up there. Let's go to Mark in Rochester. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Sal, thanks for taking my call, bud.
Yep, you got it.
Hey, so two quick things, and you touched on one of them. Khalil Shakir, you know, that one play he made, he didn't take it for a touchdown, but it reminded me of the play that he made in the playoff game against Pittsburgh where he just brushed off a would-be tackle and got an extra 10, 15 yards. The guy's incredible, man, for his size. I think that's going to be the go-to guy this year. Without a doubt, I think that's going to be Josh's security blanket, if he has one. But the guy that stood out to me, and it was after Jaren Johnson got hurt, and they put in Cam Lewis, and I'm like, oh, great, you know, TJ's out, you know, this is going to hurt. That dude stepped in, and they didn't miss a beat, man. And what I loved what he was doing is he was dipping that shoulder to get underneath those big offensive linemen to get in there and just make a play. I mean, that you talk about that next man up mentality. That was it right there, man.
I had a caller, Mark. Do you remember? I don't know if you were listening. A few weeks ago, somebody called this radio station on this show and said, the Bills aren't tough enough. I mean, come on. How can you watch these guys and say something like that? I mean, a guy like Taron Johnson, who is tough as nails, and oh my God, how does he play that position the way he does? And then to bring in a guy like Cam Lewis, who's just as tough and just sticks his body on the line on every play, is amazing.
And, you know, that's what I love about Dean and McDermott. They find these guys, man. Whether they're at UB, I don't care if they're at Buff State, man. They find these guys. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounds. And you're like, really, this guy? And then the next thing you know, he's a stud.
Yeah,
they've
done a great job with that DB group. You're right. And those guys specifically, Mark, Cam Lewis has only gotten better in his career. He's in his sixth year. He's only gotten better. And he showed yesterday why he's been in this league for so long. And the Bills are fortunate to have a guy like that who can do those things. Let's go to Bill in Toronto. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Sal. Love the show. I just want to make a comment. Like, I had the Bills game on the main TV, and I'm watching the red zone on my little laptop and everything. And I've been watching football a long time, back when there was a 12-week schedule. And it's just, when I watch the games now, it just amazes me how physical the game is. And I'm really worried the NFL is going to ruin their own product. The NFL's become a game of attrition now. Like, the Bills are already down two or three main starters, and we're into week one. And it's all across the league, and they got to get more breaks for these guys so they can heal. Like, going from a game like that and expect them to go on a plane and go down and play another game in 3 days, it's ridiculous. And I think the NFL is going to pay for this because it kind of takes away from their overall product. We want to see the best players in their best shape. And I just hate the way the NFL runs it. The players are fantastic. It's an exciting game. Everybody loves football. But I just wonder what you think about the attrition, because that's basically
Your concern is correct. And it's been something that's been for many years, not just now, but you're right. The bigger, faster, stronger players even making it more so. They've tailored some rules to try and curtail some of that. We know that, especially the concussions and head. But your overall general point and your concern, Bill, is correct. However, I will point out, I just think it doesn't matter because people keep watching, right? As much as you think it's going to, it keeps getting bigger and bigger as much as it actually feels like what you say would happen. Look at all, this is why it's on Thursday nights and Saturday nights and Sunday nights and Monday nights and Amazon and Peacock and YouTube. They're getting billions and billions of dollars because even though your concern is correct, that actually hasn't happened.
But Sal, the one thing, like we've already lost Love as a quarterback. Aaron Rodgers lasted one game last year. I mean, it's true that there's only maybe four or five elite quarterbacks in the whole league. When you lose a quarterback like the Jets did last year, it's impossible to watch the games.
Yeah, but people still do, Bill. Maybe for you it is, but people are still watching.
No, I do too.
I know.
But it really does take away from it.
I get it. Listen, again, your concern is right. I don't disagree with what you're saying. I'm just telling you that the numbers, though, are that people keep watching, right? I mean, that's what they do. And that's why they keep making billions of dollars. and these TV revenue. All right, let's move on. Let's go to Taylor. Hi, Taylor. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How's it going, man?
Good, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, so just a couple quick points. I'm a 30-year-old Bills fan. I'm a millennial. I've always known the Bills as mediocrity, but finally, you know, it seems the past couple years Josh is pulling us out, but it seems like he really does have to be Superman on offense. And, like, I got to be honest, I was nervous about these wide receivers, but Shakir kind of, like, brought us back. Mac Hollins, I like the way that we're spreading the ball. I would like to use Ray Davis even more. But really with the defense, man, like, are we getting out of our time frame of, like, championship time? I mean, it seems like before the season – everybody said that we're going to take a step back. And after watching the Cardinals put up that many points on our defense and how lackluster they looked, I mean, DeMar Hamlin starting, I got to be honest, like me and all my friends, that's scary to us. After losing Poyer and Hyde, obviously that's a top tandem safety duo. But DeMar Hamlin, like what? I don't know. I guess my question is, what are the chances of the Bills making like a big name move on defense or
very little. That would cost a lot of money. They don't have that cap space to do that.
Okay.
So, and look, and your concerns are right. Of course, they lost good players. What you say about tomorrow, a lot of people echoed that, but they didn't get beat for big plays down the field yesterday. They got nickeled and dimed, and zone defense was getting eaten up a little bit. There's no doubt. They also did button up and only allowed actually 20 points to the offense of the Arizona Cardinals after a 17-point surge early.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that second half,
right.
they definitely turned it around. They limited that deep threat. I mean, it was total prevent at the end. Like, yep. they kept everything short.
Yeah, I mean, no, but there's no doubt, Taylor. I mean, like, this is a transition year. And, you know, I don't know. I think next year, the offseason, that's the time to, when you talk about big name, you know, maybe the trade deadline, something happens. But, I mean, they're going to roll what they have here, and they're going to try and figure it out on the fly like they did after missing so many guys last year after the fifth week of the season. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Keep your phone calls rolling. When we come back, somebody just talked about Josh having to be Superman. I want to talk about that and the fourth down decision by Sean McDermott. A lot of you not agreeing with that. I'm in the same boat as you, but I'll explain, and we'll kind of get into that a little bit when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive and Catholic Health Monday Extra Point Show.
Williams blitzes, pumps, balls out, and it's recovered by Buffalo. The question is whether they deem it an incomplete pass. Dorian Williams on the football. It's Buffalo ball.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, the tailgates are up, so let's celebrate at Northtown Kia's Telluride Tailgates every Saturday in September. Enjoy complimentary tailgate food, Paula's Donuts, plus giveaways of official Buffalo Bills Northtown gear. Enter to win a Northtown Buffalo Bills game day experience, including two tickets to a Bills game, parking, and tailgate supplies. No purchase necessary, and while you're there, check out the great pricing on new and used Kias. Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst, Northtown Automotive Group, official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. Sal Capaccio here, Extra Point Show. Catholic Health Victory Monday Extra Point Show on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Here's John and Elma. What's up, John?
Yeah, Sal, why are you saying the Bills going to be 2-1 after three games and we're going to lose in Miami?
I didn't.
You did. No. I heard you say that, Sal.
Hey, John. Hold on, John. Hey, John. Can I say again what I said? Maybe you didn't hear me correctly.
I did hear you correctly.
Okay, so I'll restate it because you obviously didn't. What I said was, the thing about this game was so important that even if you go to Miami and drop it, you have a great chance to come back home 11 days later, and beat the Jags, and you'll still be 2-1. That's what I said.
Okay, then how are we going to beat the Dolphins?
I don't know, John. Because they're good down there and play a good game, John. Are we good now? Did you get it? That's what I said.
No, I didn't get it.
No, you didn't hear what I just said about the 2-1. I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yeah, we're on the same page now, but how are we going to beat the Dolphins?
Score more points, brother. That's what they got to do. I don't know. Without Taron Johnson, if he doesn't play, John, it's going to be tough. How are they going to beat him? I don't know. I wish I knew the game plan. That would be amazing.
You're putting all your win in one guy? Come on.
Oh my God! All right, we'll take a timeout. Sorry, I was trying to do my best there. Anyway, John, thanks for the phone call. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. That's not a great way to wrap up the hour. Let's start the next hour better. Okay? Can we do that, folks? Here on the Northtown Automotive and Catholic Health Victory Monday Extra Point Show.
Has time, looking deep down the right sideline for Coleman, and he's got it. Caught at the 5-yard line. That's what the top pick's here for.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I think you look at us offensively, you know, they did a good job of holding on to the football and running the ball well and kind of controlling the game. You know, we felt like we barely touched the ball, but we felt like we were constantly in the green. We were ahead of the sticks. We've got the one fumble by me that can't happen, and then we got a few penalties that pushed us back there. So need to clean those things up, but, you know, we felt like we were rolling pretty well on offense.
Yeah, I agree. That's Josh Allen right there postgame. So I want to touch on somebody who called earlier and said, Josh Allen has to be Superman. Look, I mean, I don't think he had to be yesterday, to be quite honest. He was. He put the cape on. He made those plays. The Bills' offense was good yesterday. They didn't have to have Josh Allen do everything he did. I think they still would have been fine if he didn't do those things, but he is great. That's what he is, and he made plays. I am pushing back against the notion today of the Bills had to have Josh Allen do all these amazing things to win. I don't think they did. They ran the ball well. Now, at the end of the day, James Cook had like 3.9 yards a carry. It's not great. He had some big explosive plays, some runs. The receivers did a good job of securing the ball, catching the ball, making plays where they opened downfield a lot. No, not necessarily. Josh actually missed MVS on one throw. But I don't think, to me, we are not coming into Monday after that game yesterday. And I'm not saying, oh my God, they had to have Josh Allen play Superman. If you're an outside observer and you look at the box score and you see all the things he did, you might think that. If you see the highlight reel plays and the leaping over Buda Baker, you might think that's the case. I don't think so. I think the Bills' offense was good. Even independent of Josh, he's the trigger man, of course. If it's another quarterback, it's not as good. But, I mean, they just shot themselves in the foot repeatedly and didn't have opportunities to score more points. First drive of the game, Josh fumbles. Second drive of the game, they go down there and they wind up kicking the field goal instead of scoring the touchdown. I mean, They to me, if they'd not shot themselves in the foot, they would have scored probably 40 points in this game. Another touchdown. I mean, they had one call back. But so I don't agree that Josh had to be Superman. I think he was because that's who he is. But that wasn't the game plan. The game plan wasn't, and I don't even think the result was, oh my God, we have to have Josh do everything and put him in, he has to make every play. That's what he does sometimes. So it feels like that. Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a Buffalo Bills football Monday. It's a victory Monday here on the Catholic Health Extra Point Show. And that is presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. You can watch me on the WGR Facebook page. So go check that out. I'm right there saying hi to you. You can comment along as we are rocking and rolling here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show after the Bills defeat the Arizona Cardinals 34-28 to get things going for week number one. We'll talk about week number two a little bit later. I got sit up, stand down, hey buddy, like we have been doing for years here on the Monday Extra Point Show. Before I get to our calls, and I got a whole bank lined up, and I appreciate that, fourth down and three, Sean McDermott elects to kick the field goal. I didn't agree, like a lot of you. I asked him postgame what his thought process was there. Why did he kick the field goal? His rationale was he would have gone for it if it was fourth and two. I believe he said fourth and two. I have to go back and check the tape. Did he say fourth and one or fourth and two? I think he said fourth and two. His rationale was fourth and two, he would have gone for it. Fourth and three, felt it was a little bit too long, too much of a risk, kick the field goal. Go up six, force them to score a touchdown. He said, I give our defense a chance to force them to score a touchdown against them. And look, they drove down the field. Okay, you have every right to be upset about that or any call, right? I agree with you. I think the Bills should have gone for it. I think you can ice the game. A first down basically wins the game. 3 yards wins the game. They didn't do that. If they miss it, let's think about the risk-reward here for a second. If they do go for it and miss it, they don't get the first down. Arizona only needs a field goal to tie the game. They can still win with a touchdown, though. They only need a field goal to tie the game. But they are backed up at their own, 21-yard line. So they would have needed about, 31, 41, about 40 yards, which is what they basically needed anyway to score a touchdown to win the game. So here's what I'll say about this. This always happens. This coach's decision that somebody tweeted me last night and said, when is McDermott going to be held accountable for that? Well, what I don't fire anybody. Like, we don't. So held accountable is an interesting way to term it. But all we can do is ask the question. And the way I always land on these things are, you can disagree with the answer, but I understand the answer. I understand what he was thinking and why he did it. Doesn't mean I agree. And I don't agree. I'm with a lot of you. I thought they should have, you know, I mean, it's called the field goal of death sometimes. Do you remember E.J. Manuel's first ever start? I'm sorry, it was his second start, right? First one was against New England that year. And then E.J., his second game, it's against Carolina at home. He has the winning touchdown pass to Stevie Johnson. Remember that game? E.J. Manuel against the Carolina Panthers. Stevie Johnson wins the game at the end. In that game, Ron Rivera could have iced the game by going for a 4th-and-1. Just get 1 yard. The game's over. He kicked the field goal. That put his team up 6. Bills went down and scored a touchdown, helped by pass interference. That's called the field goal of death. After that game is when he became Riverboat Ron because he started going for those situations a little bit more, actually. I would have liked to see the Bills go for it yesterday. I'm agreeing with a lot of you. Although I will tell you, I asked Sean McDermott. He gave his answer, and I appreciate the answer. I don't agree, but that's all you can do is ask, and that was his thought process. Let's go to Jeremy in Delaware. Thanks for holding, Jeremy. You're on WGR on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for the call. I just wanted to touch on the 4th-and-3.
Yes.
Like you just talked about. Like against the Cardinals, like they had been stopping them pretty good in the second half. You know what I mean? So I guess yesterday that decision, like I can live with that. Obviously, because we won, they did stop them. But I would hope, and I just want your opinion on this, like I would hope in the future, like if Mahomes is on the other sideline, like 4th-and-3, 4th-and-4, 4th-and-5, like we got to go for the jugular and end the game and not give him a chance. Because when we give him the ball back, especially a quarterback like him, he's got 4 plays every set of downs to get 10. And like I think that makes it super hard on the defense. So I just hope, not that yesterday wasn't a big game, but against maybe a better team later in the season, I hope McDermott gets a little more aggressive. I know he's not always aggressive, but I think he's got to go for the jugular and just go win the game. Thanks.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. First of all, Jeremy, I want to apologize to you because I didn't know you were going to bring that up, and I kind of stole your thunder. I didn't mean to, so thanks for bringing more to it. You know what I mean? I appreciate that.
Oh, it's all good. Thanks, Al.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. You got it. So I agree. One of my pet peeves doing this job is when people call up and say, well, you can't do that against this team. You can't do that against Kansas City because you'll lose. Well, they didn't play Kansas City yesterday. They played the Arizona Cardinals yesterday. And I don't know if he would. And that is a good question. What do you do against Kansas City? Actually, if you go back to the last few years against Kansas City, I understand in the playoffs last year, they lost because they went for a field goal and missed it and the game was over. I get that. But in the regular season games they've won against Kansas City, they have actually been more aggressive. And McDermott has been more aggressive, in his career lately. Wasn't aggressive against Philadelphia. 20 seconds left with the ball. Should have been. Wasn't. Lost the game in overtime. I mean, you can always pick apart these things with any coach, there's no doubt. I agree with you, Jeremy, that against a different team, you might want to have a different play. I would have had a different play yesterday, but it's a little more defensible to me against Carolina anyway. Why do I keep saying Carolina? Against Arizona? Because I was talking about that Ron Rivera thing against the Cardinals, sorry. There we go. That's good, though. Good call, good thought, and that's what I like about this show. We work through it, we talk through it, and what we do here on the Extra Point Show. My old stomping grounds that were my new stomping grounds, and then I moved back to Buffalo, Englewood Beach is where Jimmy is. What's going on, Jimmy? How's everything down in Englewood Beach?
Hey, Sal, pretty good. A lot of the snowbirds have left, the beach is not as crowded.
Well, that beach in the 1990s, when I lived there in the 1990s, was just a hidden gem, and there was really not a lot of people there. You can go there on a nice day and have it to yourself, and now you can hardly even go over there anymore because it is just so jam-packed with traffic.
Yeah, you're right. I know. But
what do you got, buddy?
Anyways, what I wanted was two things. First, I didn't like the two different second and one calls. I think that's when you got to go for, you know, the long ball. You know, you still got third and fourth if you want to go for 1 yard. And the other thing is, do you think that they were maybe staying vanilla with their game plan to, you know, prepare more for Miami?
It's a good question. I have said for a while that I think that they've been very vanilla this entire preseason to make sure they don't show anything. And I do wonder if they held anything back for the Dolphins, especially when it comes to Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel, who's dealing with a toe injury a while ago, only played 15, 17 snaps, whatever it was. Didn't get involved. I wonder if he's going to be more a part of the game plan. I wonder how much the toe injury mattered there. I'm going to have to go back and look at the exact play-by-play and the exact second and ones you're talking about for the Bills. But, yeah, I mean, that is the time you want to take a shot. Here we go. Here's a second and one, Arizona 36. Right guard for 3 yards, first down. That's later on. They wound up fumbling on that drive. Here we go. Second and one, Arizona 12. Get 4 yards. Yeah, I mean, I understand that. But the upside is you get 1 yard. You got a new set of downs. And it opens up the playbook even further. But, you know, understandable. Let's go to Jim in Springville. Hi, Jim.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, bud.
Hey, listen, I just want to say for all those, like, so-called haters out there, as far as, like, you know, McDermott and his decision-making ability and all this stuff that he does, we got to remember, first of all, he came from a defensive position in Carolina before we got him as a head coach. Once he became a head coach, if you want to take some records and start looking at some stuff, you take Marv Levy, which the winningest coach in Bills history. We all know this, okay? His record was 112-70. All right. You do the math and you take McDermott after 7 years, he's 74-41. They almost have identical winning records. Okay. The guy's he's an awesome coach. He really is. And just because he makes one little decision about, you know, a 4th-and-3 not to go for it, if it's 4th-and-2, whatever. I also wanted to touch on the fact that Josh Allen's grandfather passed away 18 days ago. All right, so, you know, what's going through Josh's head? What's going through Josh's head? The guy just lost his grandfather. You know, it reminds me of my parents, too, because my father passed away on the 4th of July in 2007, shortly after, 3 years later, about the same distance as Josh's grandmother, you know, with his grandfather. You know, my mother died on my sister's birthday. So it's been a crazy, crazy comparison. I was just thinking about that, you know, and as far as the record with McDermott goes, I think he's a hell of a coach. And if he keeps up going the way he's going, his win-loss percentage is almost identical to Marv Levy's. And I believe he has more wins and losses than Marv Levy does through 7 years of his tenure.
Yeah, I have to go back and look. I mean, I think he might be – actually, Wade Phillips had the best winning percentage, but I think that McDermott might be up there with him. Look, anybody who listens to this knows, I think Sean McDermott is a really, really good NFL coach. I also respect and understand the opinion of they've reached a certain point and they haven't gotten past that point. You have to start evaluating if you think that somebody else would be better to do that job to get them past that point. I understand that too. But I don't know what you're going to get. It's not easy to get a really good coach, right? It's not. And they have a great – it's not just the coach. They have a great situation here in Buffalo with the owner and the GM and the head coach all being aligned. And, you know, teams dream of that. Owners fire coaches every year and GMs every year because they don't have that alignment and they want certain structures, and the Bills have that. They have what a lot of teams envy actually here. So, I mean, yeah, I'm with you on that. Sorry to hear about your grandparents as well. Let's go to Kevin in Florida.
So, my old buddy, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, so I just touch on a couple things. So to the previous caller, yeah, Marv's record and Sean's record are close, right? And who knows when Sean's done in Buffalo, but I believe Sean's 4-5 in the playoffs. And Marv Levy, I believe, was 11-8 or 12-7 in the playoffs, right? I get it was 11.5 years or whatever it is, but winning matters in the playoffs. Coaching matters in the playoffs. In the regular season, your players win you games, right? Coaches, sure, lose games at some point, but players win you the games. In the playoffs, coaching matters. And Sean McDermott has constantly shown he does not have what it takes to help this team win in the playoffs. So that's not what I originally called for, but that kind of fired me up a little bit. I think yesterday the team was probably the most unprepared I've ever seen them throughout Sean McDermott's tenure in Buffalo. Obviously, they did a great job in the second half to come out to adjust, which Sean's very good at doing that, adjusting, you know, at halftime and coming out. I'm sick and tired of the special teams problems. And the whole 4th-and-2 thing or the 4th-and-3 thing, it's shown constant over and over again that Sean puts all this faith in his defense rather than putting the game in your superstar quarterback's hands to go out and win you the game, which is why you pay him, which is why you drafted him. It's constantly frustrating to me that they're taking the ball out of Josh's hands rather than letting him win the game. I was very pleasantly surprised yesterday with, I think, how good the wide receivers looked. I get Kincaid only had the one catch. Very impressive Keon Coleman. And, of course, Khalil Shakir is like the second coming of Cole Beasley, who I absolutely love. So I think the wide receivers are going to be fine this year. I'm just very nervous for when we start getting into these games at the end of the season and Sean McDermott's, you know, coaching comes into play like it did yesterday to give it back to the defense for us to lose it. I'm in the boat that I think Sean should have been fired after the 13-second game, but I get where are you going to get another head coach from. So I totally understand that. So that's it. Thanks for everything, Sal.
Yep, you got it. You got it. A lot there. I'll just leave it on its own. So, I mean, look, the analytics have said he is actually much more aggressive than you're giving him credit for, but certainly there's been times where, as I just pointed out, there's times where you'd like him to be more. Last year, he got roasted for being too aggressive on defense in two games, right? The Philly game and the Denver game at the end of the end of those drives. So, no, good call. Thank you. I appreciate it. Let's go to Ralph. Hi, Ralph. You're on WGR.
Hi, Sal. Observation on Rousseau. You know, the only time I've ever seen him line up on the right side is against the Dolphins, assuming he's trying to affect the lefty quarterback in Tua. Seeing him there yesterday got me thinking, is this a new Babbage wrinkle, and is this going to be a permanent thing? And I was wondering if you observed any of that during training camp.
You know what, Ralph? It's a good question. I didn't necessarily think about it too much. I do remember him, I think, lining up on the left in training camp, yes. And the right, I'm sorry, you're asking me about the right side, right? Are you talking about the right or left?
He lined up in the right a lot yesterday.
Yeah. You know what? I'd be lying to you if I said I noticed something, but I will try to go back and look yesterday. But not something I necessarily picked out in training camp, because I think the Bills kind of move those guys around, but typically he's on the other side. But it's something I'll try to look for a little more, Ralph.
Okay, well, it worked yesterday. So
yeah,
he
certainly did.
Up some stacks that way. That's great.
Yeah, well, you have to remember, too, Von Miller. Von Miller, they moved them both around yesterday, right? So don't want to go down that road and rabbit hole and saying one guy one side, another side, but it's a good call, and I can look into that. Let's go to Paul in Tonawanda. Hi, Paul. You're on WGR on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Just a comment on James Cook. I haven't heard much about him this morning. I've been on and off, but 101 yards total offense, and he kind of took the ball out of his hands when Josh fumbled and they were rolling there. But I think he had a tremendous game, and all the running backs when they were in really contributed. And the game just showed the everybody's going to eat if the receivers are concerned. A few catches for everybody. Who are you going to cover? And they got a lot of weapons, and I think they did once they got stopped beating up themselves yesterday, they showed what they're capable of.
Yeah, you got it. Look, I think that James was very good yesterday, but his overall numbers at the end of the day, running the ball didn't reflect a really great game, 3.7 yards per carry. But he had some explosive plays. I think give the Cardinals some credit. They actually made a nice adjustment on James Cook as well for whatever they did to start limiting him after he was breaking off some yards in chunks. I know what you mean by took the ball out of his hands after the Josh fumble. I mean, the Bills had they didn't have a lot of plays. They were dominated in time of possession in the first half. I think it had to affect what they were doing game plan wise. Let's go to Rob in Connecticut. Hi, Rob.
Hey, good morning, Sal. How are you doing today?
I'm good, buddy. Thank you.
First off, I'd like to start off by saying I was thinking about you. Big win for Syracuse, buddy. That was great.
Let's go Orange, baby. That's right. Hey, their quarterback, Kyle McCord, was at the game yesterday, was at the Bills game yesterday, and he is an early Heisman Trophy candidate after transferring from Ohio State. Yes, thank you. That was a great, great, nice win over Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I heard some great things about that quarterback. I hope they continue pushing forward this year. And also, I'd like to thank WGR for having a great 7-1 show yesterday. You guys were all on point. I always enjoy listening to you guys. As far as the game, you know, of course, there's a lot of things that have already been said by a few fans and callers. For me, I think we're keeping Kincaid on ice for a little bit, but I would have liked to utilize him a little more yesterday, but I was very pleased with the receiving core and how Josh spread it out a little bit. It keeps the opposing defenses on a bobblehead out there, so they don't know what's coming. We're gonna clean it up a little bit at halftime. I kind of had Babbitt we trust. I knew there was going to be adjustments. I know that's not us. And we came out and did what we had to do. It was resilience. I love the way we came out and finished the game. The fourth and three at the very end, I agree with the call. It could have bitten us on the butt. I'm glad we kicked that field goal. Tyler Bass is back, baby.
Hey, I'm glad you brought up Tyler Bass, Rob. Thanks for the phone call, by the way. I got some calls here. I'm going to let you go, okay? But thank you for the phone call. Yeah, you got it. I'm glad you noted Tyler Bass. Tyler Bass needs to be noted from yesterday. It was not a good kickoff, the last kickoff. I also don't know exactly what he was told to do or not to do, and it was very windy. So I'm going to give him, not a pass, but say I want to find out more about that circumstance before I just go, oh, my God, he was horrible in that kick. Of course, it didn't turn out the way you wanted. But the bottom line for me was Tyler Bass was excellent kicking the ball through the uprights yesterday. 4 extra points, 2 field goals, on point. His swing looked good. His confidence looked good. Thank you, Rob, for bringing that up. I really appreciate that. Let's go to John in Detroit. Hi, John.
Yeah, hi, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I'm actually en route back to Detroit yesterday, and I had
Did we meet yesterday? Did we ever meet? You and I?
No, we haven't.
Okay. I thought I met someone from Detroit, so I apologize.
I flew in from Brazil just to get to the Bills game in time. But
wow.
After all the nervous Nellies, yeah, I mean, the first half was not really a good Bills football.
No.
But when we scored just before the end of the half, I felt we don't have as much to worry about in the second half. But if you look around the league, I mean, how many slam dunks were there yesterday? And the game I saw in Sao Paulo, believe me, the Packers and the Eagles were both embarrassing. Their defenses were awful, ton of penalties. And, you know, if it wasn't mostly an uneducated crowd, I don't think you would have heard them roaring as much as they did. But it was a great experience to go there. But I was more excited about getting home in time and see the Bills get off on the right foot, no matter how it ended. And, I was worried about, you know, another Hail Mary at the end.
Oh, my gosh. It was creeping into my brain as well. I didn't want to say it on the radio broadcast. I know.
But it didn't happen. I got 7 more games to travel back and forth. I'm a Bills season ticket holder. We're living in Detroit now. So just want to tell everybody, just calm down. Take a chill pill. Maybe if you're a Dallas fan or a Vikings fan, I don't think there were many slam dunks yesterday.
Yeah, it's week one. That's the way it goes. John, thanks for the call. Good call. Appreciate you, buddy. Safe travels back. Over the Ambassador Bridge they were showing last night, Detroit. They have the Blue Water Bridge over there, I think. A couple of different ways to get back to Detroit when you're going back from Buffalo if you want to go that route through Canada. Real quick, let's take another call before we hit a timeout. Jill's been waiting. Hi, Jill. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Catholic Health Victory Monday.
Yes. Hi, Sal. I'm a first-time caller.
Love it.
I want to tell you, I love your show. I love you. You're great.
Thank you.
I wanted to just make a few comments. I'm just so happy we have Joe as our offensive coordinator. It's refreshing. I think the guys have confidence in him. He lets Josh be Josh. I was watching Ken Dorsey yesterday manage the Cleveland Browns, and sadly, they looked totally lost. And it seemed like I was just watching the Bills all over again when Ken was in charge. So I'm just so pleased with Joe and how he's spreading the wealth. I think it's just wonderful, and it gives everybody an opportunity to play. And I also wanted to thank you because when I was listening to you, I think on Friday, you were talking about betting Denver, even though it was a chance to bet on Denver. I did too because you took a chance and I won. So I wanted to thank you for that.
What was the line? What'd you get it at?
It was I'm trying to think. It was plus.
Like eight or nine, right? And they lost by six, right? And they lost by six. All right, you and me. We got that. You got, thank you. I love that. I wasn't perfect on my 3 dogs, but that was the one I liked the most.
Oh, thanks for listening, Sal. And you just keep doing the great job you're doing.
Thank you, Jill. I appreciate your phone call. Thank you for the kind words. I did not do great on my 3 dog Thursday. I think it was 1-2. I have to go back and look. Jacksonville, I lost with them. And who else did we take? We did 3 dog Thursday. We had Jacksonville. We had, I have to go back and look, you know, because it was so, I think it was
Cincinnati.
No. Cincinnati was a favorite, so I couldn't take
them. Oh, right, right.
Who was the other dog we took? I'm going to look at this. It's going to bother me now. The ones we liked the most, I said the one I took the Rams. See, I knew it. The one I didn't like. And they lost by 6 last night. They got banged up, by the way, too. Okay. Kevin Stefanski and Ken Dorsey run that offense in Cleveland. And I'm telling you right now, Jill, you're right, that they're getting a lot of calls on our sister station, The Fan, in Cleveland, Odyssey. People calling up their morning show today going, what is going on with the offense? Well, on that note, we got to get to sit up and stand down. It's coming your way next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Catholic Health Buffalo Bills victory football Monday.
Now steps up in the pocket, throws, now he's going to run, and the beast has once again been released. Josh Allen with a 6-yard touchdown romp. His second rushing touchdown of the day. 4 total touchdowns from the Bills QB. Can you say MVP?
You know, I would say that Josh Allen's going to win AFC Offensive Player of the Week. But I don't think he will, because I think Greg Rousseau is going to get AFC Defensive Player of the Week. And usually, they don't do the same team. So,
who had a better performance than Allen, though? Was there anyone close?
Yeah, I mean, there were guys who threw for more yards, for sure. I mean, not maybe accounting for more touchdowns. I don't know. This is a good question. Let's go to this. Hold on. I will do this right here, right now. Right here, right now, baby. Let's do this. Passing. Total yards passing, Tua 338. And these are only, let's see, AFC winners, Tua and who else? Oh, man. Can't find one. CJ Stroud, 234 and two TDs. Tua 338 and a TD. Allen, 232, two TDs, but and then rushing to, I mean, but who had a better performance than Greg Rousseau? Right? I mean, all right.
Just give it to both of them.
Yeah, they don't.
Why not?
They don't do that.
I know.
They don't do that.
It'd be funny if they did. Like, it'd be really cool, but I don't think they...
No, right.
they just, wouldn't just change everything.
Now that I look at it, I don't know. You always give it to a winning team. I would think that maybe Tua gets it. He threw for 338 and a touchdown. And a win. On a walk-off win. I think maybe Tua gets it. All right. We'll take your phone calls here, and then I want to get to sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And, of course, it is the Catholic Health Extra Point Show and a Buffalo Bills victory football Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, by brought to you by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com. We have not heard anything yet on the injuries to Josh Allen or Taron Johnson. Sean McDermott speaks to the media at 3:15 p.m. today. So hopefully we'll get an update on both those. That's your Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Let's go to David. David in Batavia. Hi, David.
Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen.
Yep.
I just want to basically say, all these people are basically talking about McDermott, and he's not our coach. But at the same exact time, if we look back, look at what our record used to be. We weren't a playoff team for how many years until McDermott came in and Bean came in and completely broke this drought with Allen. Like, this team has come so far from where it's been, and that's just what I have. Like, this team wouldn't be exactly where it is if it wasn't for Bean, Allen, and McDermott, and the plays that Allen can be able to make by himself.
All right, David. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Appreciate you. 803-0550 is the number, but we're going to step back from the calls right now and get to our weekly Monday segments. Sit up, stand down, and then we'll do a little hey, buddy. Let's do it. Here we go. Sit up, stand up. Who are we sitting up on this week? This is where the part of the program where what I do is I say, all right, we need to sit up on someone or something in the NFL that maybe we're not paying enough attention to. Going to start it off with the Buccaneers and the Saints running the NFC South. Because as much as I thought Atlanta was going to be like the winner of the division, I get it. It's one game. I understand that. I'm not going to just completely throw all the dirt on them. But come on. The Falcons lose to the Steelers 18-10. Not even a touchdown pass from Justin Fields. The Steelers kick not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, six field goals to win the game. Right?
Whoever had their kicker in fantasy.
Chris Boswell.
Yeah, whoever had Chris Boswell.
Congrats if you had Chris Boswell. By the way, not only did you get 18 points from him just in the actual field goals, a 57-yarder, a 51-yarder, a 56-yarder. Like, that dude may have had more fantasy points than anybody in the history of kicking. Anyway, this is not a Falcons point other than, hey, they might not be that good. What is going on there? They got to be better than that. This is more of an NFC South point and sitting up on the Buccaneers and Baker Mayfield. They looked great yesterday. 24 of 30, 289. You talk about NFC Offensive Player of the Week, not AFC. How about that? Baker Mayfield, 289 and 4 touchdowns. Mike Evans, 5 catches, 61 yards, 2 scores. They looked really good. I know they played the Washington Commanders, but on the other side, too, you got the New Orleans Saints just crushing and cruising over the Carolina Panthers, 47-10. Derek Carr throws for 3 touchdowns. Alvin Kamara runs for 83 yards, and they just get after Bryce Young and company. Bryce Young throws 2 touchdowns. I don't know if it's ever going to work for Bryce Young. I just don't know if it's ever going to happen for him. I'm dumb. I should have taken the Saints as my survivor pick this week, and I didn't. I went with the Bengals, and they lost to the Patriots. I should have done that. And I'm like, what am I doing? Because I was so in on the Patriots being so bad, right? And that didn't happen yesterday. They had a win. But anyway, let's sit up on how good the Buccaneers and Saints may be in the South and running that division away from the Falcons, who I thought would be good, and the Panthers, who are just terrible. The Panthers are terrible, and they might have the number one pick in the draft again next year. They had it last year, but they basically traded it, you know, to the Bears, and that's why the Bears took Caleb Williams and all that stuff that went down. So, all right, that's our sit-up. I mean, could stand down really be any easier? I mean, you got to stand down at Deshaun Watson and the Browns. What? Folks, you talk about tortured fan bases, right? The Bills, Buffalo sports, we know. We are here in Buffalo. We are the most tortured sports fan base in all of America. Don't tell me about the Browns fan base. The Browns have now an NBA championship with LeBron, okay? They're the same fan base. You won your title. We have the Stanley Cups haven't happened here. The Super Bowls haven't happened. I understand the Browns have had heartbreak after heartbreak many years. So have the Bills. But in their case, in this one, I don't know if you can even have hope going forward watching Deshaun Watson, who, by the way, I understand all the stuff that went along with him. Like, why are you doing that? How can you give this guy that kind of money? All that. But as a player on the field, I'm like, he's a good player. He just has not been good as a Cleveland Browns quarterback. Yesterday, 24 of 45, 169, a touchdown and 2 interceptions. He's fumbling the ball. He's not making good decisions. The Browns overall give up 33 points. They lose 33-17. This incredibly vaunted Browns rushing game, where did that go? They ran for 93 yards yesterday. I asked a few people last week to give me the order of finish in the NFC North. And there was some debate on the Steelers being, like, there was the debate. The Steelers were 4. The Ravens were 1. But there was debate on who was better, Browns or Bengals. I don't even know now. I might even do a stand down on the Bengals, but I have not been high on the Bengals. I thought the Browns would be better than this. I thought that they would win yesterday. Oh, my gosh. What we thought would be the best division in football, at least I did, is not looking like that because of the Browns and the Bengals. Stand down on the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson. All right, let's get to Hey Buddy. If we can. There you go, buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
Okay, in some ways, I'm a bit late to this because this would have been a great Hey Buddy last week, but it still fits, okay? And that is because even though they lost this week, this is a double Hey Buddy, by the way, okay? Even though they lost this week to a nationally ranked program, my buddy, two of them here, and I'm going to start with the local guy, Pete Lembo, and the UB Bulls, okay? I mean, what a great start to the season for UB. 30-13, over Lafayette. Yes, I know they went to Missouri and lost 38-0. Don't worry about that, all right? They're coming back home. They're coming back home this week, and here's the deal, all right? Big home game this week, UB against UMass. This game is going to be on, what, Saturday at 1 p.m. at UB Stadium. And yes, this is a promotion, too, to get out there and go watch the Bulls and get online and buy tickets. UBBulls.com/tickets, where you go. You can find the game on the Bet 1520. We got the game. But my buddy, great job, Pete Lembo. Had him on the radio a couple weeks ago. UB, Pete Lembo, the UB Bulls. I love the 716 on their helmet. That was pretty cool, right? Great job. I love that. My double, hey, buddy, is, you know I got to give love to Fran Brown in Syracuse after last week as well. Syracuse, Georgia Tech. Syracuse now 2-0 in the Fran Brown era. They didn't look great against Ohio, but they did a nice job. But holy cow, does Kyle McCord look really, really good. Syracuse and Fran Brown 2-0. They're getting votes now. They didn't crack the top 25, but they're getting votes. And then you have, of course, they have a bye week this week. Then they got Stanford at home, a chance to go 3-0. So, great job by the two most local, you know, college football, bigger college football programs. UB right here in our own backyard across the street right here from our Duntire Studios. And Syracuse down the 90. A combined 3-1 on the season. Let's keep it rolling, boys. Let's go. Let's do it. We'll come back. We'll take a look to our next game, a look ahead to our next game. And when we do it, I'm going to tell you about a new sponsor that's on board here on the Northtown Automotive and Catholic Health Monday Extra Point Show, and I'm super glad to be talking about them as we look ahead to the Miami Dolphins on Thursday.
Blitz comes from the other side. Allen avoids it, rolls out to his right. Complete to Cook into Arizona territory and down to the 36-yard line. Big first down on a 3rd and 11.
Hey, let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. Contest ends January 5th. It's, of course, after the calendar turns. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. Also, tune in to WGR 550 each Bills game during the regular season for your chance to answer our tailgate trivia question. It's your chance to win two VIP tickets to a Buffalo Red Zone tailgate party courtesy of Game Day Hospitality. Tickets include food, drink, entertainment, and access to the VIP tent. Visit our contest page at WGR550.com for details. Hey, do you remember maybe about a month ago or so, we actually spoke. I was filling in the morning with Jeremy and Joe. Joe and I were doing the morning show together. And we brought on Wyatt Russell, the actor, Wyatt Russell, and his partner in business, Rich Pete, his friend. And the reason why is because they created this incredible drink. It's called Lake Hour. And Lake Hour, crisp cocktails in a refreshing state of mind, right? That's their slogan if you go to lakehour.com. Well, Lake Hour, I'm happy to tell you, is a big part of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Monday, on a Victory Monday especially, because they are sponsoring our weekly look ahead to the next game. Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. Also, you can visit lakehour.com. Folks, you know if you've listened to me for many years, I don't really drink a lot of beer. In fact, I don't really drink any. I'm not a beer drinker. I like my red wine once in a while. I like seltzers. I love this stuff. You'll love it too. Check out the amazing flavors they have. Watermelon cucumber, rosemary yuzu, peach jasmine, honeysuckle ginger. Proud to be a partner with Lake Hour every single Monday here on the Extra Point Show as we look ahead to the next game with Rich Pete and Wyatt Russell, the actor. That's right. He came to town. So go check him out, lakehour.com. And of course, pick up Lake Hour at your local favorite liquor store today. And of course, the next game is the Miami Dolphins, Thursday night. The Bills, they'll travel to Miami on Wednesday. Let's set up the schedule for you today. Sean McDermott speaks at 3:15 p.m. The coordinators will speak at about 4:45 p.m. That's later than normal, but that's because the team is going to be doing some stuff today. No media, though, with the team. As far as the players, there's no practice, I should say, for the media to watch today. I'm guessing they'll be doing, you know, more meetings and checking out, like, injuries and stuff like that. We'll get an injury report. It's a Barnsworm injury report, of course, when that happens. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Taron Johnson and Josh Allen. the Miami Dolphins, the hated Miami Dolphins for most Buffalo Bills fans, right? The Bills have dominated the Dolphins over the last several years. We know the Dolphins had the win a couple of years ago in Miami. Bills go down there. It was the heat. It was a tough one last year, week 18. We know what happened to in that game when the Bills had to win the game. That game was for the division, right? Deontay Hardy with the long punt return for the touchdown. The Bills secure the victory. And now the Bills take on a Miami Dolphins team that yesterday had the same kind of game as the Bills. They were down 17-3. Was it 17-3 there, I think? The same score as the Bills were down. 17-3. They were down to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And 17-7, excuse me. There you go. And they came back. Tyreek Hill with an 80-yard touchdown pass from Tua. Then Jason Sanders kicks a field goal. And then a walk-off field goal from Jason Sanders 52 yards away. This is going to be a tough team. Devon Achane. Yesterday, 24 yards only, but one touchdown. Super fast. We know that. They're going to want to run the ball with their speed. They're going to want to hit the edges. That's exactly what the Arizona Cardinals did to the Bills until the Bills made an adjustment. So, you know, this is not going to be an easy game. It's a quick turnaround. It's a travel trip. It's Tua Tagovailoa and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, who, by the way, yesterday, think about these two guys. They totaled 12 catches for 239 yards. This is it's going to be a tough one, but the Bills, if they play offense the way they pretty much did for most of the game yesterday, they'll score points against this defense. And the challenge for this one is going to be stopping the Miami Dolphins. We'll talk a lot more about that as the week rolls on. Thank you very much one more time. That's our look ahead to the next game. Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. Glad to be with them. Go to lakehour.com as well. We have 3 full hours of One Bills Live today, so keep it right here on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday, of course, presented by Catholic Health and Northwest Bank.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.